Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome back to another episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. I'm your host, Black Trey, and I'm joined by Big Jerv, and we got Mari in the building, Durag shining with that Giants blue. You know, Jerv sounding like Dave East right now. You know what I mean? So we ain't gonna have Jerv talk too much because his voice sounds like shit. Amin is out today, but we may get the call in to talk about a little Dreamville. Mari had a crazy dream.
Oh, man.
I'm living out a bag, and we're going to talk about our favorite show, Snowfall. So let's jump into that.
Yay.
Yeah, <it's funny. laughs> First, I want to start off with Leon, bro. Again,
oh, man.
Like, what documentary did he see that makes him just want to save all the black communities?
Again, this is 1986
right now. This is 1986.
So this is 86. Is this Public Enemy yet? Is Public Enemy out?
They not out. No, we still NWA era right now, right?
We ain't even got NWA yet. We ain't even got that.
Oh shit.
So there's no basis. Right. So yeah, so that nigga must have
We don't get diss songs till 87.
Oh yeah, he might have really went and read a book then. Fucking documentary. He read some shit where he had his finger to the under the word, like, oh word?
Okay. I mean, like, do we got cutting some slack though? Like, he is literally watching, like, he's on the front line watching all these black men, black kids, like, die. And if memory serves me correctly, even before he got on this wave, last season, he was kind of on his wanting to be out, right? Like, he was like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore, right?
Yeah.
I think everybody's hitting their epiphany. But this is the needle era where needles are starting to hit the scene because mm-hmm. it was, you know, that's when heroin is finally starting to make its way around the hood. It's no longer a rich man drug. It is, you know, mm-hmm. it's cheaper. It's accessible because cocaine is kind of making its wave. Obviously, people are selling that. You know, niggas was just selling nickels and dimes of weed. And now we're starting to watch the growth. You know, I mean, if we look in modern day, right, you look at the South having lean, you look at, you know, certain areas having pills. The West Coast just got that like roughly 5 years ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? And niggas is ODing and dying because they don't know how to properly do that stuff.
Are they finding out that you can get like HIV from this shit too at this time?
Yes. And that's why the first mention is from it. Because if you look at, like, you know, just to kind of jump around, Forrest Gump, when Jenny used to be using needles, they don't know about sharing needles. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They were only associating it with, you know, homosexuality and then also you know, passing it around through sex and not knowing that it's the transfusion of blood through different needles. Nobody's switching out anything. They're just, let me see. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just trying to get high.
I don't even like hitting the blunt after niggas. I can't imagine sharing the needle. Yeah, that's so wild times.
I only smoke with my wife. Like, we only passing it back. Anybody else? I got my own, dude. You ain't got your own. I
don't know. But you also got to think about this though. A lot of diseases didn't exist. So
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we're starting to get that wave of like, oh shit, our bodies are starting to conform with different things. As we get the pro back Leon, we also you know, he comes up with this proposition of like, I'm tired of killing niggas. Maybe I go to him since we have this history and make a deal. And if not, I'll deal with him, which I don't think the deal with him would have never been in the situation. He probably would have been like Brennan on Power where he's like, get away. You know, I'm going to let you go free because I don't want to kill you. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't think he is in that situation of actually trying to kill a nigga. And then Jerome and Louis are coming for blood. Like, Jerome's drunk at this time. Louis's on a Power trip. And, you know, and then you got all this shit going on. Like, you want to talk to him after this? And I get Jerome's sentiment because what if the bullet did hit somebody and Kane's responsible for that? And like, they're just rude, you know, but Franklin's always thinking strategic. He's like, okay, if I take this nigga out, then I got another hand. You know what I mean? I got more shit to deal with. And he just doesn't want that attention. So he's trying to be strategic and he's trusting. He's giving Leon that chance to right his wrongs or not even right his wrongs, but be able to be in front of it. And I think he owes him that because Franklin has made so many decisions for everybody that everybody's making their own decisions now.
Yeah,
Teddy is fed the fuck up.
Man.
I didn't like how the white man was talking to Franklin like that. I'm just being honest. I get it, shot my nigga.
Yeah.
But.
Like, come on, dog. Shit happening to everybody. Like, you talking like you the only one to shed blood. You the only one that been going through this. Let's not do that. Because y'all got in this shit together. Y'all in this shit now. Y'all done been through the thick of things. Now that shit going on, like, don't pop up acting like your problems is bigger than they. Like, don't do that.
And you killed my dad.
Yeah, like, we not going to do that, my nigga.
Yo, his dad was a rat, though.
But you killed my dad, nigga.
Your dad was a rat. And that's part of the game.
But you killed my dad, nigga. Like, at the end of the day, I'm still got that in the back of my conscience. I get it.
Yeah, Teddy love picking and choosing. He love picking and choosing when to take the high road and when morals take
the nigga.
Like,
the
like morals only matter when it's on him. Like, when it's on him, it's like, oh no, we gotta respect shit. But then, like, when he needs something done, fuck the rules. Like, I'm a, you know, like that shit is what you expect. Like, how you
and now he's telling Franklin no more high assets. I don't care if you buy the ghetto,
bro.
It comes back to me.
Yeah, I ain't like that ghetto line.
You saying
I ain't like that ghetto line, my
crazy
nigga.
To him, bro. I wasn't feeling that. Man.
Yeah, only kids can talk about the ghetto. Only kids can say, believe it or not, the ghetto was mine. You know what I mean? All that type of shit. You know what I mean? I ain't really like that type of talk neither. But again, that goes to my point. Like, he power tripping. He uses his skin when it's convenient for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't come in here and try to have this contest with us, my nigga. Like, we all getting dirty money the same way. All this, you know what I mean? Like, we together in this shit. So what you picking and choosing when to flex your muscle? So that shit is corny. Like, he's a bird. Like, Teddy, he's a bird. Come on.
And he's walking around with open wounds. You know, he's trying to act like he still is gonna make it to this next destination because he's, you know, he's faintly still weak after this gunshot, and he never really truly healed. So I don't think he makes it throughout the rest of the season, but he's going to be on his last leg. Like, that nigga's literally going to be like Kadeem Hurst and Vampire in Brooklyn, where his body's just going to be.
Bro, this nigga got the, he got the permanent Gatorade cup on this shit now. Like, anybody's playing 2K, he got the permanent cup because everything he do is like, if he cough wrong, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he was fucked up. Like, you seen this nigga on the ground, he was about to die, bro. Like, he's still not too far from, you know, removed from 1 foot in the grave, dog, like real shit. So him walking around and moving around and stressing himself out on top of that, I don't even think a bullet gonna take him out. He probably just gonna die. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, something gonna happen to get too stressful and he just gonna fucking just, it's over.
I think Franklin kills him, believe it or not. But I think he kills him prematurely because, you know what I mean? Like, the way that shit's supposed to be operating, ain't nobody's supposed to know who the fuck Franklin is. So, you know, I don't know how to say this because, you know, I obviously if Franklin makes the right moves and you know, whatever, and there's a new connect in the pipeline that destroys the hood continues. But at the same time, it's just like, I don't want Franklin to be dumb. And my nigga, like, yo, you got a kid on the way.
Yeah, that's what's been fueling everything up to this point anyway, is like, he got a kid on the way. He got to be smarter for his family and all this type of shit. I don't think he wants to see his girl get, you know, so nervous about these situations as much, because she's been asking from the beginning, like, what's up? Like, are we good? Is everything safe? Are we all, you know, are we all squared away to start this family? You know, to just like with just them before the, you know, the baby should get involved. I think at this point, Franklin, that's everything that's fueling his decision. So if a nigga got to go, they got to go, because he's thinking about his family moving forward and all the rest of that shit is out the window. Like, it is what you already got static right here with Louis still. So that's creating static with Jerome, and then you got your girl. So it's like, he got to really hone in and say, okay, let's cut all the fat and let's get to this shit. You know what I mean?
Speaking of Jerome shows up to the vet office and they say, how can I help you? He's like, yeah, I'm looking for a friend. Peaches. Dijon Hill. Niggas, so used Peaches, to calling everybody, man, by their nicknames.
Yeah, like
everybody's supposed to know.
Yeah, then he looked at him too, like, oh wait, like, well, my bad. You probably know this nigga as, you know, this as his government name, because why would you know him as Peaches like that? Like,
like, he just walking up, like, hey, yeah, I need service. My name is Peaches.
Yeah, I'm Peaches. Son, like, shit, Peaches. Yeah, like, come on now.
So
y'all think he in Thailand?
No, I think that nigga dead.
Nah,
or he's sick. He really,
he's somewhere
really,
in,
really,
he's somewhere
really
in somebody's basement, man.
Cause I know we all thought he probably because of them introducing, you know, HIV and AIDS in the way he was coughing, but then the way they spun it, I don't know, bro. Like, I don't think he has that. I think he's just a fiend now.
I think he just, yeah,
but then again, he might, but the sharing of the needle.
No, I think you got it, but again, to the situation, because I'm still hitting on Franklin saying, whatever you got, I don't want to bring it home.
Mm-hmm.
Was a vital line.
That's why he ain't dap him up when he left off the spot that time. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm.
And he was like, you good? Yes, he may be a fiend. And yes, he may have started using at the beginning of the quote-unquote season, not highlighting it. And he's been coughing, and it's because he's got it. But now he's so weak, He can't help. He can't drive. He can't do any of that stuff anymore.
Yeah, He probably feels super embarrassed because it's twofold with that. You gotta admit to these people that you've been using, and now you have HIV as well. So it's like you can't even go around because they're gonna be asking questions. Like you said, we're just now finding out you can get it from the needle. So the first thing they're gonna think is, oh, you involved in something else. Then he got to explain that part to him. So I can see that. I definitely can see that happening. Like he just
Because his condition is gonna be bad in general off being a junkie off rip, right? Absolutely. He's gonna be selling things. He's gonna be getting rid of, trying to look for his next high, and obviously that he's already not on his P's and Q's. Mm-hmm. The next thing is like, okay, it's the 80s, and how they, you know, Jerv, you seen Philadelphia, right? Okay, so Philadelphia, all these early 90s movies, they were overpainting the picture on the HIV and AIDS, right? They got sores, they got everything.
That shit the next day, they'd be out of there. You'd be like, damn, bro, like that's what it is.
So in that situation, I can see them, the next time we see him on camera, he's going to look terrible. You know what I mean? Like his body.
Sores and shit.
Barely can talk and shit, right? Yeah, yeah.
Again, 1980 something. You know what I mean? The first celeb possibly that we learned about, you know, that one was out and open and passed away from it was Arthur Ashe. And that's like 1990, right, before Magic announces he has HIV. You know what I'm saying? So
when did Easy die? You're not putting him on the same.
He's 93.
Damn, that was 93?
Yeah.
Ooh, I thought that was the 80s.
Because Bone came out 6 months later.
I was just about to say the only reason I remember it was 93 is because Bone Thugs and Harmony was like the biggest shit out in the city. You know what I'm saying? And then the Eazy-E shit, like he had him in a video, like the, you know, like him in the clouds and all that shit or whatever.
Crossroads.
It was like, it was still new. It was super new. Like, damn, Eazy-E. Yeah. Yeah.
The doctor asked Jerome to see therapy. So now we're getting to this point where Jerome is having time to think. He's seeing this older black man. Jerome has always been mannerable. I feel like most West Coast niggas is mannerable, though, to be honest. Like, on some shit, like, a nigga be a gangster and be like, no, ma'am, yes, sir, et cetera, right? You get that older state. And, you know, and same thing for y'all. In y'all neighborhoods, I was watching Mike Epps' comedy show, Indiana Mike.
I got to see it.
And he mentions how these young niggas are wild. Like, a nigga joke on you, you go up and run up on them, you see a machine gun in the backseat.
Mm-hmm.
He said, now you make eye contact. He said, back in the day, you make eye contact with a grandma. She might invite you in the house and send you to the store.
Yeah, real shit.
You know what I'm saying? Respected them.
All of the gangsters, all of the tough niggas, all of the, you know, whatever, were respectful to women, to children. You know what I mean? To like those that's like that. Like they'll take care of you. You know what I'm saying? They see your mom walking home with groceries. They carry them for her or give her a ride or whatever. They get a buy the kids ice cream. We talked about this before. Nobody who was like robbing old ladies and taking advantage of the, you know, the people that was in the situation that wasn't in the game, those not the niggas we look at as like real. Those never were the niggas that we looked at and was like, oh, somebody, like, nah, somebody gonna get you out the way if you're not adding to this, you know what I mean? Like, and it sounds crazy because if you're not adding to the community, but it's like it's drug dealers around, but at the same time they had to figure it out too, dog. They're gonna get it from somewhere. So if I can get that money and take care of what's in front of me, what you want me to do? You know what I mean?
Bro, the OGs from my neighborhood, and this is what, 90s, late 90s, mid to late 90s, the OGs from my neighborhood, they used to throw a big cookout.
All the time.
You know what I mean? Like, they threw a big cookout, and everybody who had issues with them as far as what they were doing in the community still popped up because it was, you know, not that a burger and some fucking potato salad makes up for you fucking destroying lives, but you know what I'm saying? Like there was still rules to it. There was little etiquette involved with that gangster stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was still morals and it was still like values. I think overall the values is the most important thing. Once the values went out the window and like niggas stopped respecting the OGs because because maybe somewhere along the line like the OGs started losing touch with the youth. You know what I mean? So that creates a lot of friction and it's like you don't reach out to them, they ain't gonna listen to what you're talking about. Now you just sound like the old nigga that used to have it. You know what I mean? So it's an ill little situation. But that nigga Jerome, man. Hey. Uncle Jerome different, man. Uncle Jerome, I felt for him in this episode. You know what I mean? Like the shit he had to, it looked like the shit he had to deal with on the surface. You know what I mean? Like crying and shit like that, expressing these feelings that we never seen from him.
Is Jerome a vet?
He was
no, he's not.
He's not. I thought he said he served.
Nah, he didn't answer the question. That's why, okay, that's okay, why okay. he jumped. Oh, that's why you. He didn't want to waste that nigga time. But I mean, again, that's some OG shit. Nigga not gonna lie and say he did it. You know what I mean? Like,
I got you. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's some wild shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think now he got to start dealing with like the issues he got, you know, like underneath that he might not, you know, it's like unchecked issues that he's dealing with. Why he mad all the time? Like, why is he so angry? Why he so quick to do this all the time? You know what I mean? Like, you know, that shit different. But as a black man, especially during that time, I can imagine you ain't got time to be soft and trying to understand shit unless it's coming from your lady. Like, you're not trying to, you know what I mean? Yeah. Be out here crying in public and being vulnerable and shit. Like, you really can't afford to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's just a cross of two generations, and whoever mm-hmm. was writing on that decided to throw that in there because that's mm-hmm. not even you're looked upon as weak at that period of time. It wasn't like, oh nigga, I'm gonna go to therapy. Nigga
was like, niggas just started now pumping up therapy, like, yeah, you should go.
Yeah. Or accidentally so, like saying, like, I'm mentally unstable. Niggas say, I'm crazy, and niggas say, niggas throwing Lucy crazy out. Like, nigga, you be like, nigga, ain't nothing wrong with you. We gonna pray for you and you gonna be all right, nigga. That was the term.
Yo, grandmas was definitely gonna pray for you. They knew they was gonna get them demons out no matter what them demons were. A little prayer was gonna get it right out.
Yeah, real shit. Yeah, that's a fact.
Louis puts a hit out on Kane. She goes to Buckley. Mm-hmm. Offer 75 up front, 75 on the back end. 150 grand back then, a lot of money. Still a lot of money.
I was just about to say, that's a lot of bread. I feel like, never mind.
Slow your roll. Kane accepts Leon's deal, but again, we got so many different factors, and this is beyond Franklin's whole the shit he can control now.
Yeah,
because you've given Leon this chance to make things right. He makes things right. He has him selling and getting money with him. Cool, that clears it up. But Louis is like, nah, fuck that.
Yep.
I want him wiped out because Franklin's too soft to do it. And this is what I would have did in this situation. And I'm my own boss. And that's going to come back to hunt them later on. Because at the end, you hear Buckley like, look, once you propose this, we can't take it back.
Yep.
And that's a teaser to a point of like, maybe they've made a decision and she's going to try to stop it.
And it's over. End. Well, she gonna have to smoke that nigga.
I think everybody's going to, you know, a couple people are going to be taken out at that particular time, and it's gonna fuck up a lot of shit because we got one more season, so it won't be over. But we're gonna lose a lot of characters at this end.
Oh yeah.
Allegedly, Peaches goes to Thailand or Burma. Jerome proposes to Louis. Mm-hmm. He also sees the junkie, and I think this is where he has this dilemma and life awakening when he sees the junkie hitting up, and he's like, that's a waste of life. So now he's trying to, however, I think Jerome's like our age or younger. He might be 33 at this particular time, and he wants to do something for his community. The stuff he always wanted to do. You know, this nigga never wanted to be in this business, but money,
jam girl, and shit.
Just different things have put him in this situation. So that was particular it. So what's our predictions going into the next episode?
Oh man, it's gonna have to be a shootout right from the opening scene on the next one. It gotta be. It's too shit been a little too, I don't want to say calm, but like, you know what I mean, we got the shootout what, 2 episodes ago now. They've been dealing with the aftermath of it. So I feel like the next one gotta start off with some type of static, because you know, you setting shit in motion, you're dealing with Kane. You got, like you said, it's mad different storylines going on and shit. It's that the next one needs to either start right off with us seeing Peaches or some type of static is happening. That's off the rip. But I feel like how many episodes is left in this season? Do you know? Do we know yet?
I just checked. I think we're coming on episode 8 right now.
So we're on 8. So we just wrapped 7. So we're going on 8.
So you probably got 10.
I would say three more episodes.
Three more episodes.
I thought the Tiger 2 part was a throwaway.
Okay.
I don't think that was needed.
Because they haven't confirmed yet, right? Am I tripping for holding out hope that like this nigga Pops is like not dead or something?
No, I think you're tripping. No, I mean, you're tripping.
I'm saying because his mom, like it. So it felt like when they like killed him, right? I'm putting this in air quotes. Felt like when they killed him, as soon as his mom left out and Teddy came back in, I feel like his mom had more to do with that than, like, you know, than anybody. Like, she knew, like, she just had left out. I don't think Teddy that stealthy. I really don't. So, like, when she came back and every time they bring it up, like, she kind of funny about it. He kind of funny about it. He talking about, I don't know what you're talking about. So, like, I don't even know if he, I don't know if Teddy even knows, like, oh, this nigga don't know. Like, Franklin don't know what happened. I feel like that shit gonna have to get talked about at some point. Maybe but I don't know. But I feel like that shit is a little fishy with the way they've been kind of tap dancing around. It ain't been nobody. It ain't been nothing else. They've been real funny about talking about it. It's just kind of funny to me a little bit. So I feel like they should be kind of getting to that maybe. If they don't, I chalk it up to I was tripping. Fuck it. But I don't know, dog.
So Jeremy. Y'all know me. I always watch the preview. So I know that this episode is based around the wedding, right? Them niggas getting married. So I don't know if it's the next day or if they fast forward in a couple months, but whatever it is, the wedding is the basis of this joint. So for me, I think that this one is, although I would like to see some action happen, I think being that we're in episode 8, we're probably only going to get 10, is going to end with a fucking banger. You know what I mean? I would probably say this one's probably a little more chill. You know what I mean? Where it's probably going to focus more so on the dynamics between Louis and Franklin. So my prediction is we'll see a lot more separation between them two, where basically it's going to be like, yo, no, nigga, like, yo, how many times I got to tell you, you know what I mean? You're not running this shit over here anymore. Like, we are separate entities, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? So I think that this episode is going to be a huge focus on their relationship. And then, you know, we'll probably see Kane getting that bread. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? They'll put Kane in action. Kane will get that bread. You know what I mean? That's just going to piss Louis off or whatever. And then, you know, we'll probably, I don't know, this shit needs more stuff, man. So I would say something with Unk and Louis, as far as maybe Unk just chilling, like, you know what I'm saying, like really, really falling back. Louis will probably keep it a bean and tell him that, yo, look, I know what your nephew on, but I'm letting you know I put a check on him. And that, you know what I mean, like, I think we're going to see, because they got to set next season up for whatever. So I think you're going to start seeing all the chess pieces, everybody positioning themselves. And I wouldn't be shocked, bro. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw Jerome at some point in time choose his family over Louis, even though Louis is technically his family. Because at the end of the day, if this one thing Jerome has been about since day one, has been about his family. And I understand Louis becoming his wife is going, but there's always been tension there between them, even from season one. And, you know, Jerome loved his sister, bro. He loved his sister. He loved his nephew, which is why when Louis was on her shit, he was like, you know what I mean? He always kind of was on his, now hold on now. Like, you know what I mean? That's my nephew.
I feel like now Jerome getting into that, like, y'all my family, but like she is like my family. You know what I mean? You know how you can watch the mom.
She has world too, though.
That's his. That's Jerome's family, not the one he was born into, the one that he's like creating now. So I think if it came down to it, he would have a tough decision to make. He wouldn't want to make it, but I don't think he would just leave Louis. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna be hard, but I don't know. I do want to see how this shit gonna shake out, but I want them to start kind of getting into. Like, let's see what Peach is on, like, because we haven't seen shit since, and we just talked about this earlier, so
hopefully. I don't think we see Peaches ever again, to keep it all the way real with y'all. I don't think we see Peaches. Like,
show him again. That'd be crazy.
I'm sorry. By show him again, I mean, like, I don't think he's going to have, like, a role in the episode other than us finding out he's dead. Like, that
I think he'll be, like, very limited in it. You know, they find the body or they see something like that. But I'm going to piggyback off what you said and just say that I can see Jerome choosing a side. And I think he chooses the side of his family after that brash decision of trying to go take out Kane without his, you know what I mean? Without
she didn't even holler at him on that, which is kind of weird.
It was nothing. That's what I said. She felt like, okay, yes, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm doing what's best for me and Jerome and not what's best for Franklin, Leon, me, you know, Jerome,
I think he might be able to respect that unless something happens to his family by way of a decision that she made without his call. Like if somebody in his family gets caught up fucking around with a decision that she made on this, then I think
that,
she's that kid. You know what I'm saying?
The unborn child could be it.
It's gonna be something. Yeah, it's gonna be something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I definitely can see that though. I definitely can see him feeling a way about it. But again, if her intentions. That's his woman. Like, of course you want her to run anything by you and shit, but if she make that decision to say, oh, she had you in mind, it's whatever, you know, she got this grand plan and shit like that, you still gonna hear her out no matter what. Like, you gonna hear what she talking about and be like, oh, all right, like, whatever. And like I said, unless something happened, unless somebody get involved and, you know, it's, like I said, some family shit related, then I think it's a dub at that point. It's probably over at that point.
You ever have that moment where you're like, damn, I'm hungry, but I don't want to go out to eat. It is way too expensive, and I don't know what to make because I'm not really into cooking. Guess what? It's real easy. It's real simple. I got a solution for you. HelloFresh. They deliver pre-portioned ingredients to your door, including farm-fresh produce that arrives within a week, so you get convenience without skimping on quality. You skip the trip to the grocery store, saving you the wait and the long lines and ensuring you don't waste money on excess food. Also, 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality. Let me say that again. 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality, and you can save on average over $65 per month when you order HelloFresh instead of grocery shopping. It's money back in your pocket. All right. So to review, A, great food. B, less expensive. C, less expensive than even if you went grocery shopping yourself. HelloFresh cuts back on time spent in the kitchen with meals ready in around 30 minutes or less. 30 minutes or less. I'm talking about right now, I'm recording this at noon. By 12:30, lunch is served and it's fire. Come on now. You know I did it. I don't do this thing where I read the ad like, oh, what do you want me to talk about? I'll say whatever. I got to live it. I got to experience it. And I did. I had the beef tenderloin and cheese fondue. Woo-wee! Fire. Fire. I've got leftovers in the fridge right now that I'm about to destroy. That's right. Those 30 minutes that I was going to take to make a meal, I lied. Not making a meal right now. Eat my leftovers. But guess what? Tonight, dinner, we back at it. So make sure you're doing your due diligence. Make sure you're getting your HelloFresh living right. Save you time. Save you money. Make sure everybody going crazy in the house. Go to HelloFresh.com/bomb16 and use code BOM16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's right. It's HelloFresh.com/BOM16. Use code BOM16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, it's America's number one meal.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal, ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
All right, moving right along. Mari, you said you had a dream.
Terrible dream. Fucking terrible dream, dog. So I can always pinpoint like how old I was or like what point in my life it was by where we were living. So like if I was living on the east side, I was like 4 or 5 years old, right? If we was back on the west side, it was like maybe like 10 and up, depending on like where we was. So anyway, had this dream. I had to be like 18, 19 in the dream, dog. You know what I'm saying? Regular shit for me around that time, playing basketball, you know, girl, shit like that, whatever. So in the dream, I'm at the crib, you know, regular day, we chilling. Young lady come over, you feel me? You know, so one thing leads to another, and you know, we almost about to get involved, you feel me? Like really get into it, and I didn't do it because I didn't have a condom, bro. I didn't have a condom in my dream. And I know you're probably looking like, damn, man, that's fucked up. Like, not having a condom is terrible. Like, you know, the reason why it terrified me is that there's a version of me out there somewhere that wouldn't have did it because he didn't have a condom. Like, I'm terrified of that nigga because that's not the Mari that I know. Like, that's not the Mari that I've grown to love, my nigga. Like, you didn't do it because you didn't have what? Like, what are you talking about? That shit scared me, bro. Like, I woke up like, damn, my nigga, like, where did that come from? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not me at all. That's not me at all,
though.
It's nothing like me.
Fun fact about I promote safe sexual intercourse. So yeah, for all the kids out there listening, yeah, Jerv definitely promotes keeping your rubbers on you. But I found out at a very early age that you should always keep a boy on you, no matter where you are.
I was at home. I wasn't even expecting it. But this is a dream. Also, listen. This is
awesome. Did your shorts have pockets?
It was hoop shorts. So yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah. It should have been one pocket, my nigga.
I'm gonna tell you this though. This is an alternate. This ain't me you talking to. This is the alternate universe me, because that nigga said no, and I wouldn't have. You know, I probably wouldn't have took that path. You feel me?
I'm proud of the alternate universe you. Good, we living in wild times now, brother. You can't just be out here just.
I'm not out here. No, I'm very.
We talking about alternate. We talking about Dreamville, Mari.
Alternate.
Bizarro Mari.
Yeah, you better keep one on you, my
yeah, lad. Bizarro Mari got to keep one on him, dog, because it's all types of shit out here.
I think the Mari at like 18. I'm trying to think who I was. So if I'm remembering correctly, who I was dealing with at 18. Yeah, I wouldn't have did it anyway. But it wasn't her. I don't know what I was doing. So alternate me was fucking up, because that wasn't just shorty. But she wasn't my girlfriend anyway. So never mind. Alternate Mari, do your thing. Like, alternate universe.
Alternate Mari did the right thing, dog. That wasn't your girl. Like, come on, dog. You listen. That had 9 months later written all over it, brother.
Best case scenario was that, yeah, because boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, nah, it scared me, my nigga. You feel me? Like, you know, it started me. I woke up, man, and splashed the water on my face and all that to make sure I'm still me.
You had the cold sweats? I definitely woke up this morning, bro. I had a crazy dream myself. I was dead to the world, bro. But I was working. I was on a production shoot. And my dumb ass sat my phones down with my wallets and my headphones. And I don't know. I just kept looking over there, and it was there. And then I get back. We just wrapped the shoot. We've been on set for like 12 hours. And I come back, and niggas just swapped the cards out. So it's the same cards, but different names on them.
Oh.
So I'm looking like, that's not my name. And it's just like Lee Houston or something. Like on it. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I know these cards ain't got no money on them. They're just maxed out. And I'm looking at my phone and my I'm just going up. I open up my Bank of America app and I'm just watching the money just slowly just trickle down.
Nah.
And I was and we were like
a lot of updates from your account getting drained. That's crazy.
But we were like in some strange ass, like we were like in Roswell, like just crazy ass like town where we were doing like a Nike shoot. Just was like, and I'm thinking, I'm so stressed at this point, like how I'm gonna get back to the crib. Like I don't have no cards. Like everything has been switched out. So they've replaced everything that I've had with new cards with other people's names.
Like, damn. Like me.
So damn. I was just like stressed and I woke up and I was like, and I just reached for my stuff and I was like, okay, cool. And I checked, I took a peek at the count and I was like,
That was something telling you, dog. Don't spend no money on no bullshit today, dog. That's what that dream was trying to tell you. Don't spend no money, man.
Yeah.
Hell no, that's stressful. To patch your pockets and be like, oh, that little quick. Oh, I remember I went to the car wash a couple weeks ago and I thought I lost my wallet. I was almost back home. Like, I'm almost back home. Stop at the gas station, pat my pocket. I'm like, hold on. I'm replaying the whole trip in my head in slow motion now. Like, I could have dropped this shit at any point. I could have threw it away. Anything. Like, what the fuck? Shit was in the back seat for some reason. Like, I don't know. I hopped out. I'm panicking. Heart about to jump on my fucking chest. I'm in there scrambling in the car. I'm like, yo, looking under the car, all type of shit. And shit ended up being in the back seat. That's one of the scariest moments ever, nigga. Because I'm thinking about, and we was about to go to the mall that day. Me and my family. I was going to take my wife and my kids to the mall. Like, I was on my way back to take them to the mall. So, like, me pulling back up saying, not only are we not going, but now I got to call and get shit canceled and get new shit. Boy, that would have been, shit. But I'm glad I found that motherfucker, though, man. How you felt when you said you woke up and you was like, all right, cool, I'm good. So you were straight after that, like.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, dream or not, I can't do nothing about it. You know what I mean? Like, those are the things. I feel like if I can't change the feeling in 5 minutes, then, you know, stressing over it don't make no sense. I remember back in the day, I think I had to turn in rent before like the leasing office closed. And I was short like $500. It's my like freshman year of college. I sold my TV. I pawned it, actually. I pawned my Xbox. And I think I was like $50 short. I called somebody. And like, they're like, I ain't got it. So I've been stressing the whole day. Instead of just saying, fuck it. Like, I can't do anything. I've done my best. Mm-hmm. I'm stressed. Like, bro, I'm talking about like the most stress I could have in my 18-year-old life, right? Well, somebody called me and was like, hey, I just sent the Western Union wire. Go get the money. And so I went and got it. It was $50. Mm. But it was crazy. For our younger listeners, Western Union used to be the only, that was our Cash App and our Venmo.
Yes.
All that. Like, yes. You get a tracking number, and if you lose that tracking number or you don't have an ID, you are fucked and that money is going to sit.
You be outside on my phone like, hey, I'm up here, dog. Call me when it's good. And you be sitting there like, damn, man. You be like, yeah, go in there. It should be straight. You walk in there. We don't see it. Yeah, you be calling back. Hey, because like, hey,
I heard my uncle lie. The nigga said he sent me $400. I sat in Western Union for 3 hours. I needed that money, Jake.
Hey,
he finally sent it. But could you imagine sitting at a Western Union? And the Western Union in Fresno used to be at next, and it was in a Greyhound station. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting in the Greyhound station, waiting for $400. Nigga sent me a fake tracking number though.
That's the worst shit. Because now you sitting there looking like, oh, my
you know, you,
God,
you, know, you text nigga. You text a nigga a tracking number, you thinking like, all right, and nigga's like, nah, I don't see it in here. You're like, what? And then you call it.
You sent it to the right John, bro? Because you know I'm at the one on blah 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 and blah blah blah.
And that's another thing too. It has to be the precise location.
Yes.
Nigga be like, oh no, I sent the one on West 7 Mile, not East. And you like, nigga, huh? Nigga, I gotta get a whole ride now. Like, is you out your fucking mind? Like, all
right. Imagine catching a bus. I would drive, bro. So like, my little $5, $10 that I'm giving you, I'm low-key losing my money.
Nigga, back in the day, doing a lot of shit used to be a hassle, nigga. Music, having to make a mixtape before you go to school, or it was like leaving your AirPods at home. That was the original, like, damn, dog, that shit, I thought that shit was done. Downloading, you wake up, you've had this shit sitting there overnight, resting in rest mode, you turn the monitor on, and that motherfucker be like, it was an error at 98%.
Oh,
like,
that's them Napster days.
Like, nigga, oh, man. Days, nigga, you know how many times I woke up at 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, being like, all right, bet. Let me download. Let me put this shit on here. Put on the CD. Shit say error. And I'm like, when?
Or I do you one better, bro. It don't even say error. It say complete. And then you go listen to that shit. And instead of it being said artist that you want, it said local ass artist from some hit town. And you like, yo, bro, I don't want to hear this shit. I wanted to fucking hear Biggie.
Bro, so many people hid their shit under Lil Wayne freestyles back then, dog. Cassidy freestyle, Fabulous freestyle. You click on that shit, it be them over a Fabulous beat. And you like, nigga, you serious?
Isn't that what Lil Nas X did? No, not Lil Nas X. Who fuck was it?
Somebody did do that, right? They put their shit under the.
Remember
he was no. like the. It was some.
I think it was Lil Nas X.
It was Nas X. Okay. Yo, can I give y'all a little confession real quick?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the Grammys, album of the year has come out, right? So I'm looking. I'm like, you know, they talking about all, you know, no hip hop artist has won, da 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 da, yada yada. So I'm looking, I'm like, damn, yo, that's what's up. Nas is nominated for fucking Grammy Album of the Year? Damn, like, yo, that's a long way coming for this nigga. And then I'm looking at, you know, you go on social and you looking and they showing all the nominees. I'm like, yo, why the fuck is Lil Nas X being shown? Like, where's fuck is Nasir Jones? And then I had to look back and I realized, yo, it's Lil Nas X that's nominated for Album of the Year, not. Now, I apologize, Nasir Jones. That's me, bro. Like, that's on me right there, yo. I still don't understand why the young boy got your name, but, you know, that's a story for another day.
Because it was easy to search.
That's crazy.
For real? Like, that's it?
He combined three rappers.
Little Nas X. Oh, shit, he did.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That nigga's a genius. He's a genius. Yeah.
Again, here you go. Whether you like these little niggas or not, they know how to manipulate the system.
Yeah.
All of them.
And I respect their originality. I think, you know, more than anything. Like, that's why you hear a lot of like older acts, a lot of like elder statesmen, like whatever. They'll tell you that they tapped in with like certain new artists. This is a different sound. Like, if hip hop still sounded the way it sounded in fucking, you know, 88 or whatever, it'd be. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be like, come on, like, what the fuck? Like, it ain't nothing that was going on. So they respect new sounds more than anything. Like, now whether these niggas can rap or not is a different story. But
plus, if niggas getting mad, bro, off of motherfuckers getting paid, that's some hater shit. These little niggas know they ain't got to sign no deal. Mm-hmm. They know how to get Grammy noms. They know how to make 5-track albums and hit that 15-minute mark. You only need 15 minutes. I think it's 15 to 17 minutes to qualify for a Grammy nom.
Yeah. So they know how to do that. They know how to get their social media.
You don't have to give nobody, you don't have to give nobody 12 to 16 to 19 songs. Anyway, we look at it now. I can't sit through 19.
It's way too
much. No, that's just way too many songs.
You mean 12 max. Max. That's
so I'm not mad at the whole. I remember when niggas was mad when Kanye was doing only 7 songs with the good rollouts, right? Mm-hmm. Pusha and he did 7 and somebody else did 7. That shit was ahead of his time because niggas had a good 22 minute album where you're gonna be like, damn, it wasn't long enough, but you're gonna run it. You're gonna run it back.
And think about
and
before.
Then that's when your streams is going.
Think about before, dog. When niggas was putting out 19 track albums, they had 4 skits on it. You know what I'm saying? It's 4 skits, so you're already down to 15 songs that's actually like music.
I like the skit. The skit era was fun. No,
But this is the thing. The skits was perfect. But if you trim the fat on some of the music, you can keep the skits and still get a great album within that. But niggas were just putting 21 songs on it, 4 skits, and then like 3 songs you could have left off. You could just, you know what I mean? Like, just cut it down a little bit. That's all.
Shouts to the kids. Lastly, I guess my world tour.
What you been into, man? You been out
think
here.
I don't think it's more so a world tour, right? I've been on a decent road tour for a minute.
It's a decent tour. You did it. You cut couple legs on the tour. You know what I'm saying? So
I went to Chicago March 21st.
Okay.
It is April 3rd.
It's April 3rd when we're recording this now.
Okay, it's April 3rd we're recording this, so. I went into this bubble situation in Chicago to work the McDonald's All-American Games.
How was it? How was that shit?
Got to watch some of the Future's talent. You know what I mean? Like, And these kids' personality is so out of this world. Like, I'm talking to the kids that's going to Duke, and I'm like, this nigga not a Duke nigga. Like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Certain niggas, like, I'm like, all right. Like, it's a kid named Grady Dick. White kid. The funniest, bro. Like, you know how you, like, look at yearbooks? And if they were to do a McDag yearbook, most likely to do this. That kid is a comedian. Like, he's such a troll. He is going to be a fan favorite. And what I mean, like, he can dunk, but he also with the bruhs. You know what I'm saying? He don't act hip. He got an iced out chain. He a troll. He like Stifler. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, they got Letterman jackets. This nigga put McDick on his jacket. Like, just being a troll.
Oh, he got that kind of humor.
Bro.
Yeah.
It's beyond funny. And he's the only white kid on the McDonald's and All-American team.
Oh, okay.
That's where we're at with it now. Like, okay. Think about it. One white kid.
Yeah. Okay.
He's not going to Duke, too, by the way. Let the people know. Because I know back in the day, the white kid that was in the McDonald's All-American game was usually going to Duke. But it's not that anymore.
Yeah.
But I like the Duke kids. The Duke kids make sense, too. Like, they're sound players. Like, Derek Whitehead can shoot the ball. He reminds me of J.R. Smith.
They better be some Negroes going to Duke, man.
Nah, they got fundamental players like Derek Lively, 7'1". He reminds me of Bagley, but then he's also like he can defend and he's smart. And he can shoot the three, but he wasn't trying to. Like, NBA Scouts was there and he's just like, I'm going to just post up. I'm going to do – like, he had the most pro – move. He's player
to his strengths and shit. Yeah.
And then they had another kid, Mark Mitchell, who was like a wing. He reminds me of the kid in Miles, not Miles Bridges, Mikal Bridges.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Should be a fucking Sixer, but whatever.
So there's so many kids. Then the girls, I'm not sure if y'all ever caught the picture, but I'm interviewing the young ladies. There's like 6'4".
I feel 5'8".
You know what I mean? Like, I feel 5'8", and I'm talking to them, and they're so talented as well, too. Like, they would definitely beat on a bunch of guys from 24 hours.
I saw you asking the kids if they can guard you and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you was getting into the, like, that type of bag. So, like, talk about the, like how were they overall, just, like, from a personality feel? Like, how do you see them being different now than, like, how, you know, kind of like how the players used to be? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it was a whole different type of crop of players, like maybe even
kids are already, some of them are already paid, bro. Okay, so like coming into this shit is kind of like, it's like your mom told you gotta go to camp.
It's just a bonus. I got you.
You know what I'm saying? You seeing somebody like, I ain't seen this nigga in like a year. What's good, bro? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's camp. Mm-hmm. It's low-key, like the homies you like, and it's clicky, and then you got the other niggas that's like, well, I'm from Wyoming, but he nice. He averaged 36, 10. Ain't never play AAU. He just nice, but he by himself.
Mm-hmm.
He on his phone texting. He got an iced out chain, but he just texting. Then you see him hoop, and then niggas are like, all right, yo, I'll rock with him.
Yeah, I see what
you mean, like that. But overall, just talking to the kids, like I was asking them, like, what's their least favorite subject? A lot of them, math, history, English. I talked to, you know, if they had a shoe coming out, what would it be called? Could they
That's
guard
a good
me?
Question. Yeah,
Most
yeah.
of the questions was like, you know, every time I asked them, could they guard me? They look at me like I was.
They all was like, nigga, hell yeah. Like,
I got one win out of the whole thing. One nigga was like, I can't guard you. My leg hurt or something. Like, I was like,
oh, you kept it. Was that me? Shit, because my leg hurt right now, nigga. That might have been me you talking to out there.
Like, even the girls were smoking me. That's why I was crying. I was like, they was like, yes, I will lock you up, bro. You
yeah.
I'm like, yo, 20 years ago, I would have. And that's the crazy thing about it. They're born in 2003.
So it made me like,
I graduated from high school in 2003. So I'm just like, ooh, like,
damn, my nigga.
Like, y'all are humans, full size adults.
Yeah.
My high school year. That's crazy to me.
When I hear people born in like 06 and 07, I'm like, how? What do you mean? Mm-hmm. Like, born in, what you mean? You know what I mean? Like, obviously, it's duh, nigga. Like, people born every day. But it's like, dog, it sounds so crazy. Like, he was born in 08. What you mean? Yeah. How? How was he? They was doing that? What you mean? 08? Nah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I mean, the graduation year of 2017 high school is so crazy to me when I read stuff like that. I'm like,
bro.
Can you work with me?
Bro.
Like, yeah, what?
Yeah.
And you actually work with me, bro? You've been out of high school. How long? 5 years? Okay, all right.
Dog, yeah. I've been out of high school 16 years this year.
Yeah, I'm like, approaching my 20th.
Shit, man.
I'm approaching my 20th.
That side that Jerv just let out right there, just to tell you his answer. Like, that's
Jerv, it's
you
okay,
mean.
Bro.
I'm chilling, bro. Like, listen, nah, I accept it. You know what I'm saying?
So, Jerv, I don't know if you want to get into last night's contest or not. You know, because we talked about it last week. Like, what would be more of an embarrassing? Did that still ring true for you?
Was that still fuck that? Fuck that game, yo. Fuck that game. Fuck North Carolina.
I mean, wouldn't have let me get out of here without asking you that question, man. So
fuck North Carolina.
Coach K is done now, right? Like, that's his. He's not entertaining nothing. Coming back, nothing. Like, that's
nah, he's not coming back, bro. But homie, like 75. Like, he gotta retire. Like, it's whatever, man. Listen, it was the end of an era. At whoever the fuck you want to at, he's the greatest college basketball coach of all time. I don't want to hear about John Wooden's 35 championships. I'm not trying to hear about no championships niggas won when there was four teams in the fucking tournament. All right? I don't want to hear about that shit. If you didn't have to win three tournaments to get that big boy trophy, I don't want to hear about it. He's the fucking GOAT. Kobe, rest in peace. Kobe Bean Bryant would have went to fucking Duke. Fucking all you North Carolina fans can just holler at me. It's cool. Y'all won. Happy to be here. That's what's up. Fucking just let me know if your man's had that casserole when he got home last night and if it had raisins in it, since niggas want to be all hype and shit.
I mean, hey, man.
See y'all chumps next year on top.
The one thing I saw on Twitter dominating the waves and shit was, damn, man, this nigga Coach K lost his last game to a nigga named Hubert, my nigga. Like,
yo, fuck Hubert Davis. Fuck Sean May being on the bench.
That's crazy. Fuck. You ain't rolling with no black coaches?
Bro, this is how I work. I'm a Duke fan, right? I then root for anybody playing North Carolina. Then I root for black coaches, fraternity type shit or whatever. But I don't give a damn if North Carolina was playing fucking, I don't even know, dog. I'm rooting for, I don't even know. I'm not like, fuck that. That is, man, yo, niggas don't even go there for Jordans no more. Dog, niggas don't wear J's. Come on over to Duke. Get these Kyries and these KDs. You know what I mean? Yo, former producer Rob Lopez want to say, yo, how come fucking what's my man name? Adam Silver want to fucking say bye to Coach K, but don't say bye to Roy Williams. Why y'all got to ask that question? You know what it is. It's the fucking GOAT. Fuck, man, you heard what Draymond said to Paul Pierce? Out here chasing this goodbye tour. You ain't Coach K. Fuck, man, I can't believe them dudes. Coming lost
so
that
so,
game,
so when the race will pop off, you definitely saving Coach K over anybody. That's your one. You saving him.
No Coach K over who? I mean, like, outside of family and shit war, like that.
Look, if you had to save one white
person. Oh, the race war.
The race war pop off. Remember how people were saying there. The Wesley Snipes shit with Tony Hawk, which they dapped it up just recently. I want to shout out to that. Shout out to that.
That was dope. So
shout out to Tony Hawk even being playing along with that.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I say, is it today? Like, is the race war today? Because I'm not saving Coach K today. There's no reason to. He's really old. He's old. Like,
no.
Oh, bruh, 91, 92? You motherfucker, right? I'm saying Coach K. Hey.
Like, niggas tell you, we got the shelter over here. You can only bring one with you. And you say you save his.
Yo, he's. Come on, bro.
Right now? Or you say, like, all time?
In general.
Oh, in general? All time. Damn, man. It's a tough one there. Let me think about this for a minute. This is Skip. You gotta come back. Come back to me.
Just don't say Eminem, bro.
The fuck out of here.
He's entitled to his own answer.
This nigga know better than that.
Tony Hawk. My shit don't change. Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk. Oh, that's a fair save, bro. That's a fair save. If I couldn't save Coach K, I'd probably save Bobby Hurley to keep it a bean with you.
I'm saving Bree Larson. No comment. No further comment on the matter.
I'm shocked that nigga's not trying to save what's my nigga Dave? Yeah, what's bro Dave? Oh, John Madden.
Hey, John Madden is a motherfucker, man. John Madden probably gonna save himself. I ain't gonna lie, the hood. We probably would like, John Madden probably already got his own joint in the, you know what I mean? Cause
John the hood not bothering John Madden.
John Madden.
The hood not bothering John Madden.
Yeah, he couldn't have shout out to Madden. He's John Madden. You said,
I think we can end on that note. I think we can end on that note. For Big Jer, for Mari, this has been an episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. It's the y'all overflow.